just want to make sure you're all situated and stuff. So you go by Raph?
Yeah, Raph Hernandez. But people always just end up calling me whatever they want. Raphael.
Right.
It is short for Raphael, but you know.
Right.
I get Raph, Raffy, Ralphie, all that.
Right.
It don't matter.
No, it's the same thing with my name. Like, people don't know what to call me, so it's slick. Nice. I don't get offended by anything. Like, people always think, like, they're going to offend me if they call me Dick. It's like, that's what high school seniors used to call me when I was a freshman in high school.
I mean, like, if you get to a certain age, like you want to go by that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like Dick is a strong, like, name. Like,
I go by it in some, Dick has a job. Like, comedy circles. Like, some
these
circles, that's like a name. It's like a stage name. But, you know, how long have you been doing stand-up now for?
Stand-up now, 7 years. I'm on my 8th year now, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Same. So, yeah.
Good little minute.
Yeah. It's so crazy. I'm going to be like 9 years in July. It's like insane how far it's gone and like all the people that we've met, like.
It's been freaking me out. It's been making me like, oh no, I got catching up. Like there's so much more I want to do before I hit that 10 mark.
Oh
that
yeah.
I'm just like, oh shit, I'm almost there. I have to like.
Oh yeah. You know,
stop fucking around.
No, I think that's one of the like things that everyone has in common is that no one is really happy where they are.
Yeah, never.
It's never that way.
Yeah. Hey, like when I started, I would be ecstatic to be where I'm at, but now I'm like, I ain't shit. And
right.
Like, you know,
I think it's because we're also surrounded by so many good people. Like,
yeah.
The level of comedy is so underrated in New Jersey,
yeah,
but people are really fucking good. So it's like.
Really funny, man. You got people coming up out of here. Who's that? Gianmarco? Is he from South Jersey?
Oh yeah,
I seen him out there like right before he like
right before he got there. I had him on the podcast, and it was so awesome. He was just so nice. Like it was, I tell the story all the time. I saw him blowing up, and I just saw that. Like I followed him on Facebook, and I never go through management for the podcast or anything. I just messaged him as a comic, and he was doing a movie with Billy Crystal at the time. And then when the episode came out, it was his Comedy Central half hour came out. And he was on James Corden. And it was just, like, really cool that I got him at, like, this moment when he was really hot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And the thing that was cool with him that I always give a shout-out to any, like, type of headliner that I've had on the podcast is they don't really view it, like, in sort of the labels that we or comedy clubs kind of view it as, like, oh, this guy's a headliner. This guy's an opener. Like, they view everyone as a comic.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool to, like, get that, like, thing from him of like, no, dude, you're a comic like me, like,
yeah,
you know,
from the same
just
place,
the same
man.
Peer level thing,
yeah.
Like, yeah, he was great, but
that's awesome. Oh, yeah.
He goes there a fair amount, right? The dojo, does he go there?
Not yet. We've been trying to get our hands on him, not yet. I'm sure he will. You know, he's booked.
Oh
all
yeah,
over the
sure.
world right now. You know,
yeah.
I had him come out. He did Space Station one time. That's like that traveling week show comedy show that I do.
Oh,
that I'm
okay.
Part of. Yeah, I felt bad, dude, because it's like, look, it's a great show, but it's just like weed shows, like audiences.
Right.
It's like they laugh in their head type shit. So he thought he was bombing. That everyone was like, that was the best show ever afterwards. But he's just like, crushed though.
It's hard because like I've performed in front of like high audience members and places and. It's just hard because, like, you have to do your one-liner jokes. Like, you have to do one-liner jokes. You have to wait, like, 3 minutes for them to get your joke.
Yeah, dude.
And it's really good for keeping, like, everyone has a room that they can do really well in. But you want to have a room that, like, you know how to be in each room. Like, you know how to 100%. Handle your set in each room.
100%.
It's
a... Yeah, it's just a different kind of comedy there. It's just like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I can't do like my stoner room stuff in an actual room.
Oh yeah,
like who's this fucking delinquent? You know, you gotta right. switch it up.
You gotta switch it up.
You need to know what kind of drug your audience is doing, whether it's weed, alcohol, etc.
Right,
jokes for whatever
thing.
They're on right now.
Yeah, and you're really good at you know it's such a hard thing with everyone trying to be like edgelord and shit. Like you're really good at making people laugh. At shit like they don't want to laugh at first.
Yeah.
Like you're really fucking good at that. I was watching some of your stuff because I hadn't seen you in a long time. And I was just like, I should probably watch this material and not be like fake. Like, oh yeah, I've seen it. But I watched that bit that you do about working at the
at the home?
At the home.
Yeah.
That whole entire bit is just tag after tag of like, and the cool thing to me is like just knowing what it's like to be like, you know, the bit is working well, like with like 70% of the room.
Yeah.
But that 30 is making it seem like no one is laughing.
You know what?
It's like, once you pop them, it's like, yes, I got you.
That one is like, I love that bit because it's like, you get a lot of people laughing and you get a lot of groans, but it's like, you get a more amount, like a larger amount of people laughing, but the groans are still in there.
Yeah, the groans are still in there.
That's the perfect
yeah,
laugh to
it's
me.
It's perfect, yeah. Because
you want 75% laughing, the other, like, and the other, I'm bad at math, 25%.
Yeah, they're just like,
groaning. Because yeah. It's just, I think it just fills out the room, man. That's just so great.
Right.
At least, as long as they're reacting to me, I'm having fun.
Right, because that's all we want. Like, yeah. I think that's one of the things with comedy that, like, we're always asked, I don't know if you're asked like this by people that don't do comedy, they're like, oh, how do you, like, do it? I think the nerves go away when you perform in front of, like, not people, like, hating your stuff, but not caring. Like,
yeah.
That's when you figure it out. And, like, to me, it's like, oh, so we figure out our audiences, what audiences we like to perform for. So there's a lot of people where you'd be like, oh, that crowd's not for me. They're not going to love me.
It's like,
at all. Like,
that's never the right attitude, though, man.
But, no, you shouldn't have that attitude. Like, you're better than any of the audience or anything. But, like, there are certain, you know, there's just certain rooms that work with you and things that work
that is
with
true.
You.
Yeah,
crowds.
Definitely.
There
are, like, definitely rooms that prefer me, but I'm trying to, you know,
I feel like half the game is, like, when you get up there, like, really, like, figuring out what the vibe is and going and acting accordingly, doing the, you know.
Right. And I think
entertaining. That's the job, is to entertain them. So however they're feeling, you got to entertain them.
Yeah. And you got to go to places that are scary. Like, you got to go to, like, if you're killing at a mic or at a show, like, regularly, you got to go somewhere else where you're like, okay, I suck here. Like, you know, because that's the only way. You have to sort of torture yourself in a way.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so easy to get caught up in, like, places where people know you and they like you.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay, I'm killing. It's like, yeah. It's like, all my friends are here. Why wouldn't I be crushing?
Right.
So it's just, yeah, it's just really trying to spread out more. And, yeah.
So you're in, like, the, like, Jersey City type of area? Is that accurate to say? Like, that type of?
Kind of. I've been getting out there more recently, but I guess I'm from Bergen County. I guess I don't know. I've just been all over the place. I don't know what's in Bergen County.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, just that Central Jersey scene pretty much.
Central
Jersey,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's Jersey City is where it's at over there.
Yeah, so. I hear that. It's like, you know, it's so weird. I'm in the Jersey Shore area, which is good, but it's like, I'm sort of stuck there, like, not really wanting to be there as much. And it's just like, I've just been stuck there for many years. And it's like, you know, you're just trying to branch out.
Yeah.
And it's always like, it's always just scheduling in life. Like, I don't drive, so I have a lot of, like, I used to just get, like, a group of friends I would accumulate that could drive me to places.
Gotcha.
And, like, go to places, and then when
space
I was
space them out,
and
so you don't,
like,
so don't get
yeah,
tired. It's
be
like, this
okay.
is my Tuesday ride guy.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Tuesdays.
Be like, you know, get team together. And it's cool. It's always cool hanging out with groups of comics. Because you have, you would say you have, like, a crew of friends, right? Like, peers that you sort of ride, like, kind of do shows with all the time. Who are those guys? If you could name a few.
I wouldn't consider any of them my friends. No, no. right now, I've been doing, like, a lot of stuff with, like, Seth Roddick.
Seth is.
Yeah, you know, I'm
Seth
always
awesome.
Right with Arnold Peter. You know.
Yeah.
It's my guy. He's been doing a lot of stuff. We're actually gonna be doing a show together. This is my first time announcing it. You get
yeah, sure.
We're doing a show at Mountainside Stage House with Rich Voss. He's going to be headlining, and Seth Reddick will be featured.
Oh, that's great.
That's going to be our first independent show thing we're going to be.
I love hearing that you guys are doing that, because, you know, Seth is on a whole other level. And I just recently met him, like, last year, I think.
Yeah. Well,
and
he came out here, like, well, to PA last year. He was in Jersey,
yeah,
and then he was
in
upstate before that.
Yeah. I talked to him on Sunday. I was like, I didn't know that he moved to Philly and didn't have his mic anymore, because I never went to that mic. I never got to go to it. And I was just like, hey, dude, how's your comedy? He's like, I don't go there. I'm like, oh.
He's moving to Austin like every other comedian. He's just going state by state, living there a year at a time. That's what I think. First was New York, then New Jersey. Now he's in PA. He's going to make it to Austin, Texas eventually.
Right. Yeah. I went to Austin 2 years ago. I don't know if you got to see him when he was in New Jersey. Do you know who Eric Hollerbach is at all? He was a little bit in New Jersey. He's from here, but he went to Texas, like, I guess 3 or 4 years ago. And, he invited me for, like, 3 days there, and it was great. We didn't get to do Kill Tony or anything, but we did, like, three mics. And, like, I did, like, a show and then three mics. It was really cool the last day I was there.
What was his last name?
Hollerbach.
Okay, no. I was thinking of someone else. Is he from PA?
No, he's from New Jersey.
Okay, never mind.
But, it was just cool, like, to be there. And then I hear, like, all this great stuff about when I went there, it was, like, Joe Rogan was supposed to take over the club there that we were at, but he ended up not taking it over. I think he made his own thing, like, recently there.
Okay.
So, like, a lot of people from other states were there. It was just, like, surrounded with so many people.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, it's always cool to be in different places. Have you done any other, like, states? Other than New Jersey or like Philly or anything?
I did Virginia one time. Virginia one time. I went down there with James Mack, John Fox, and who else? Some girl, I forget her name. I think it was like Rebecca something. She did some New York comic. Went there for like a festival thing. It was fun. It was cool.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was fun. Like we got like an Airbnb. It was a good time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Time. But other than that, not really. Yeah. I want to do stuff in Florida just because I'm kind of from there. Like I lived there for a lot of years. I'd love to go to Florida, see what that's about.
Yeah, my grandparents live in Florida. I've heard great things about Florida.
Everyone's great.
That's like another thing. Florida. Like I hear great things about Florida. I hear great things about like that's just I have like a couple friends from the podcast like in Portland. It's like you know, I always have, like, all these, like, strange contacts. Like, if I ever, like, get to be anywhere, like, I'll just have these little, like, pop-up things of, like, oh, I can go here. But, yeah, it's
how far have you gone?
Just Texas was, I think, Texas. The farthest that I did. And that was really cool for me just because it was my first time traveling all by myself. Like, I traveled with my family a lot, but, like, it was the first time by myself. And with, like, my autism and stuff, it was, like, really cool for me to do that on my own. Bad. I was, like, I got to go on the airplane by myself, figure it all out. It was cool of, like, a little bit of adult, like, type of thing. Of like, okay, I figured out how to do this on my own. And, you know, it was just cool because even though it was 3 days, it was, like, it was really cool to get...
complete independence right there.
Yeah. And the cool thing was, like, stand-up... as a genre is the same everywhere. That's what you find out. It's like, that's what's so funny about it. It's like, is it going to be different? It's like, no, it's just the same. The only thing that was really cool was the people that are, you know, that were kind of like seen as the best there were really nice. Because you never know how that's going to be.
Yeah.
Kind of if they're going to big league you or something or how they're going to be. But
yeah,
everyone was super cool.
Most big league people ain't going to big league you.
Yeah.
If they're actually big league.
Yeah.
But what you call it? Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
Yeah, so, when did you figure out that you were funny? Like, was it something that you always had as a kid or something that came out sort of later?
Man, I don't know. I was just always trying to be funny. Just because I always thought shit was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, always in awe of funny shit. Like, that I always wanted to be it. Like I love stand-up, like... when I was in high school and stuff, I was on the speech and debate team for like a month. So they have speech and debate. Most people know the debate part. There's speech.
Yeah.
Speech is like they is like monologues pretty much. And we went to Harvard in Boston for some competition. I had been in speech debate for like 1 or 2 weeks. I just made it right in time to go to this fucking trip. I don't know, but. So we had some people competing in debate. I decided I'd compete in speech. I can find a monologue. I had to find something funny. I was like, all right, what's funny? Fucking stand-up comedy.
Right.
So I just remember, like, like 5 minutes of Brian Regan, Comedy Central special.
Yeah.
And I did that as my monologue, and they're like, yo, you can't do that. You can't just be doing stand up. like you're supposed to be acting stuff out. I'm like, dude, I'm crushing. What are you talking about? Everyone loves this Fig Newton joke. Like,
yeah, of course. Like, yeah. Oh my God, Brian Regan. Just,
yo, Brian Regan is the shit.
Love him so much.
Yeah,
man, envy people who can write clean, because I'm very like playful. I'm playfully blue. I'm like, you know, and it's always like hard because I don't curse like a whole lot of my act. I just like, I'm just dirty. So it's like, you know, it's like, you know, it's so weird with people because it's like, oh, well, what's your barrier for clean? It's like, can I say the word balls? Like, is that fine? Like, I have all these jokes about my balls in the beginning of my set. I don't think that's harmful.
Yeah, it's easy not to like curse when you're doing comedy, but it's like, what subject is considered
clean and dirty? Right.
Because it's like, I got some shits like, it's low-key like racial, so it's like, is that considered clean or not? I don't
know. Yeah, I think it's the fun part is just figuring out what you can do and like challenge yourself with that. It's like, okay, how can I make this like palatable for everyone? Because, you know, that's the fun part with it. But I guess Brian Regan is someone. Because I always ask people, like, about influences and favorite comedians.
Oh, man. Well, maybe we really want to start doing comedy was Bill Burr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would listen to his podcast back in the day. Like, and he would always, people would always write in and be like, hey, man, I want to try comedy. What should I do? And he'd be like, yo, just go do that. Go do it. And he's like, I started when I was 27, and I'd be listening to this, like, I'm about to be 27. I can still start. I would be too late for me to start when I was young. I don't know why. I was just always wrapped up in shit like that. But I was like, yeah, let me just do it. And, yeah, man. Bill Burr's huge. Louis C.K. is probably the funniest person alive.
Oh, yeah. He was the influential, like, thing to me. Because when I was...
Yeah.
When I was a teenager, like a preteen, really, on Comedy Central, there was only like three people. It was Jeff Dunham, Gabriel Iglesias, and Dane Cook were like the three. And they were like fine for periods that I liked them, but they all were like very specific in like kind of meme kind of comedy in a way. And it wasn't until like I watched like HBO and Showtime and stuff and found out about Bill Burr and Louis and was like, okay, this is more so what I like. More of the, like, you know, more the nerdy type of, like, into stand-up comedy is, like, how I got into it.
Carlin was dope.
I was so upset that when he died when I started becoming a fan of stand-up, so I was like, oh, shit. That's...
Yeah, like, I got into him, like, right before that last special he came out with.
Right.
I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Did you hear his AI special?
I didn't hear about it. I didn't hear it. I didn't watch it. I just heard about it, and I saw. I follow his daughter on Twitter, so
yeah,
she was not happy about it.
Yeah, not at all.
I like her. She's a good person. She seems like a nice person.
Sure. I mean,
it's like it's
that's her father. Of course, you don't feel that way.
It's
you know?
So weird how like also so many people pester her for that because it's just like she's the only like barrier for people to like. Really the last, like, things of him.
Yeah.
But she doesn't always view him as, like, the comedian. She views him as a father. So it's like, you know, everyone views him differently to her.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure he would feel more similar to her because it's personal to her because that's his father. And it's personal. It would have been personal to him because that's his legacy. That's his comedy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And we're just fans. So we're like, ooh, we just want to hear another one.
I think.
So we'll put on that blind spot. But, you know.
Did you listen to it?
I listened to some of it. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty funny. At first, I was like, "This is dumb," because it don't really sound just like him.
Right.
And it's like you could tell a little bit like for like the first 5 minutes, it's like a lot of like that George Carlin like listing a bunch of things.
Right.
It's like, is this gonna be the whole special? But it's like, no, it picked up.
Right.
I was like, all right, interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah, because like I love his later stuff. Of course, everyone you know. Praises it. I think it's, you know, but my favorite stuff is more of his like early 70s stuff and then also his late 90s. I like the wordplay stuff. Like, I'm the thing that I love about him, especially like his, like, I think it's his 80s album or whatever. He was just like Class Clown or whatever it was called. It was just great because the way that I found out, like, this about him, why he did all the wordplay stuff, was that his mom was a linguistics teacher. So, like, that's how he learned all the, like, intricate things of language and, you know, all that stuff. So, and then him being, like, the class clown in real life, he was, like, on that album, he'd be, like, he'd do the, like, seven dirty words, and then he'd also do, like, armpit fart jokes.
Yeah.
And just, like, in between, like,
he was Nick's so silly.
So good. So silly.
I like that. I like a comedian. That's why I'm such a big fan of Louis C.K.
Oh, yeah.
I like when he gets extra silly, like the...
Oh, yeah.
Like the shitty pet fucker store. Like that's such a silly premise, silly joke. Like,
he had a new... I watched his recent special, and the one thing I like about any of his, like, peers, like, between, like, Chris Rock and, you know, Dave Chappelle, I feel like he's really doing, like, keeping with the same pace of doing newer stuff and the same type of voice. Like, he has this bit that's his closer about fart porn that is just, like, hilarious. And it's just, fart like, porn? It's just great. He's, like, talking about how, like,
oh, yeah.
You're growing it, something, like, shy or, like, timid. Yeah. And then he's like, no.
He's like, I've just been chasing that dragon. There's none other like that one. Yeah, that was great.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
But he was just, it was something else with him. And just the rise he was on. He had that so show, good. Louis, and then...
Dude, that show was so fucking good, man.
Oh, yeah.
On FX. I watched that shit religiously. Me and my brothers, we would watch that shit when it came out every week. We were big Louis fans. We were like, this was before I was doing comedy. We just wait for that shit to come out. Man, what? Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Even his last couple ones were great.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that he came out after. Post what all the other shit.
Yeah.
But like Sorry, Sincere.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff. He's always kept up a really good... I like comedians that have...
so consistent.
A lot of consistency. Like, every comedian I love has, like, a new special every year. Like, so, besides that, are there any, like, other people who are, like, your current, like, favorite comedians?
I mean... Mike Epps is probably the funniest person in the world. Mike Epps is hilarious. Patrice O'Neal.
Patrice is,
Who else is mad? Who else? I don't know. I would say probably... I don't know who else. Like my Mount Rushmore would probably be Louis C.K., Patrice O'Neal, Chris Rock, and then Bill Burr. Just like the four most influential.
Those are, because
they're like just so like, Chris Rock is just nostalgia. I grew up watching.
Yeah.
My dad loved him.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Burr made me really want to do comedy. Louis C.K. I think is just the funniest of all. And Patrice O'Neal is just the rawest motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, you just got all four elements.
Oh, so great. Yeah. Yeah. I listen to so much comedy. I just have too many like things to sort of pull from. Because I'm very much like more into... I guess kind of the alt guys, like I'm a big like Marc Maron guy,
okay.
Patton Oswalt, like people I like nowadays are like Kyle Kinane is like
you have like a my personal top. like you're like what would be like your personal Mount Rushmore, like your personal
five? Is that four or five? I can't remember.
Mount Rushmore four, but you can four. Do five.
Okay, so four would probably be Carlin, Gary Shandling, Maria Bamford, Patton Oswalt, and who else? Pete Holmes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yo, so, like, Pete Holmes or Kyle Kinane. Like either of those two. So, you know, it's just, it's funny. I got so into the world of it. That was the cool thing to me. And the cool thing to me was when I got into podcasts and everything, of, like, Pete Holmes' podcast, the cool thing to me was everyone, that, since he started in, like, 2000, 2001, everyone that he was friends with and started in comedy, they all became famous, like, alongside him. And he just has, like, a whole list of people that he just, like, started doing comedy with as, like, an open mic guy. And they just all became, like, headliner comics, which is just crazy to think about. Like, you know. And it's, like, sort of what we dream about. We're like, okay, we want everyone to win.
I want to be doing the same shit now with the same people just on a higher level.
On a higher level, yeah. Like,
dude, there's a lot of people out there that are funny enough to be, you know what I'm saying? I hope to see a lot of the people I've seen out here making bigger moves, man, because we got some funny people here, bro.
Do.
Funny ass and some fucking funny characters, dude.
Oh, yeah. That's the cool thing about, like, kind of doing stand-up that I love is that we kind of like, it feels like you're living in a TV show or movie at times.
Dude.
Because you're like, everyone is like a micro celebrity to us that we see. And everyone has like a character like,
yeah.
Like I'm a big wrestling fan. So it's like kind of people have like a character like on stage that they kind of have a persona. And then you know the person off stage
yeah.
of like, oh, and sometimes they're similar, but sometimes they're like pretty different. And it's like really cool to see. Like, especially being when we were at Ozark Rose, just seeing so many people that, like, some people hadn't seen in, like, months. And then I'd just be like, oh, yeah, that person. And I'm terrible with names. And I'm just like, that guy that I know you for, like, 5 years. Why can't I remember your name?
Dude, I'm the worst at that.
Yeah.
I've done, all right, yo, I owe Jordan Freed, like, so many apologies. Every time I see him, I'm like, I recognize this guy, but he also looks like every white guy I've ever seen. Like, Jordan Freed, I love you, but you look like every white person. Looks
like every white person.
Every single white person in the world. So every time I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, dude, Rav, it's me. And I'm like, oh, no, Jordan, no, I know. Fuck, I should have known.
Right.
I got to remember when I see the same white guy. I gotta remember. No, that's not every white guy. That's just Jordan.
That's just Jordan.
This is Jordan Freed. Fuck. I'm sorry, Jordan. But yeah. Yeah, I do that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm trying to think of another person who I've done it to, but I can't even remember their name. So that's how bad I am at doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Sean McDonough. I've done that to Sean McDonough several times.
Oh, yeah. He's a...
Oh, bad for that one. Dude, I had seen him, like, a week. I had seen him at, like, Ambi Coffee House.
Yeah.
And then a week later, I see my dojo. And I'm like, hey, what's up, man? Nice to meet you. I'm right. He's like, I saw... It wasn't even a week. It was, like, 2 days before. It's like, I saw you 2 days ago. We had a great conversation. I thought we became friends and shit. Like, it's like, we were having, like, a great, fun conversation. I was like, oh, fuck. You, like, lined up your mustache, bro. You can't do that on me.
Oh, yeah.
That's it, dude. You switch up your hairstyle. If you're a white person and you just change your hair in any way, you threw me off, man. I don't know why.
He's an he's so nice to me. That's like one of the things that's like so cool to me is when someone at like that level that I respect like views me as a friend too. It's like so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Like those are the people like when COVID happened and we didn't have audiences, that's like how I like made the like distinction of like my material was good enough. I was like, if I could make Sean McDonough like laugh, that would be like it for me. Of like, okay, I can keep this joke. How did COVID sort of affect you? Did it affect?
Oh man, it affected.
It affected everybody.
It did, but man, I had fun, man. I did some, not as many as other people. Like not I didn't do no big shows, but like you know some like underground mics and like some of the underground like you know shows and stuff. It was cool when I had a show because like. I worked at a nursing home with with nurses who were like, we hate our lives, dude. This shit sucks. There's nothing to do. We need something to do. So they would come out to like a show.
That's awesome.
Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even though they're not, we weren't really supposed to be out and stuff. So that was fun.
They're pretty supportive.
A little irresponsible, but huh?
They're pretty supportive.
Yeah, very.
That's awesome.
Very supportive. Yeah, shout out everyone I know from Morrisview, man. They were very supportive. Yeah, they came out to a couple shows, definitely.
Yeah, because I think when I was, when I first met you, you were, like, still in school for everything. Like.
I think I had just started, when I started doing comedy, I was a medical assistant still.
Right, medical assistant.
I was a medical assistant, but yeah, that was before the nurse home stuff, but. I had just became a medical assistant.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's when you still used to do...
I would always be wearing scrubs and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go...
You would come to, like, the co-op and scrubs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn. That's wild. Back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's wild to think that, like, we have that, like, in our world of, like, oh, back in the day. Like, I when I started, I was younger than a lot of people. So, I started at, you know... 22 and a half doing stand-up.
Okay.
21 and a half doing stand-up. Okay. You know, because I started improv when I was 15. So it took me a long time to find stand-up, because there was nothing in my area until, like, 2014. And then I got to be, like, sort of the beginning era of, like, the Jersey Shore.
Gotcha.
But, like, okay. New Jersey comedy had always existed, like, all over. But just in that area, there was nothing.
Hell yeah.
So it was cool.
That's awesome.
Like, you know. So, like, Courtney have, like, a... Like, I like it a lot. I love it. There's a lot of, like, people that I love there. But I still want to go to other places. And
what made you want to do improv?
Oh, I just had no... I had no way of knowing how to start to do comedy. Because, like, there was just no stand-up in my... I wanted to do stand-up, like, right away. And I was like, oh, look, I'll do this for a month and figure it out. And then, you know, like, 4 years later, I'm still doing it. 6 years later, I'm still doing it. And what we just had was people in my area... like, we had this show, and then, like, stand-ups would go on before us. And that's where I met, like, Mark Henley...
Yeah.
And, like, people like that. And I sort of started with him. And then I started going to open mics. Cause
so you're 18 at this point?
I was...
19?
I was 21 when I started, like, 21 and a half. Like, 6 months until I was 22. And it was just... what happened was my improv, like, teacher, he, like, knew that I wanted to do stand-up for a long time. So he's like, okay, well, you can open for us, like... And I did that twice, and I bombed really badly. But the way that I explain it all the time is, my first time that I did stand-up, I could have fallen off the stage. I would have gotten up, like, 2 seconds later, full of adrenaline. Like, still, like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because it was built up over so much over time of, like, this is what I initially wanted to do.
You're holding on to it for years.
Because, like... With improv, the one thing that was good about it is it teaches you to fail on stage.
Yes.
That's the one thing. And, like, I was surrounded by so many great people, too, that were amazing at it. Mm-hmm. But when I started doing stand-up, it was like, shit, now this is all on me. When you, like, start bombing early on.
We have similar origin stories. I did poetry.
Oh, you did
when
poetry?
I was, like, 16.
Yeah.
So I'd go, like, this is the talent show.
Right.
Say a poem, like, bam.
Yeah.
Fuck you, government, or whatever the fuck I was talking about. Whatever dumb shit, teenage shit I was talking about. And, you know, so, yeah, you want to hear, like, you know, you don't even, well, partially, you don't even know if you did good or bad. Like, because a lot of people are just going to just sit there.
Right.
It's all bad, really. If you think
about
it.
We have a poetry scene, like, mixed in now with our, like, Jersey Shore scene, which is great. Like, these guys have been doing poetry for, like, 10 years. And it's really cool because they're, like, a punk rock version of poetry. They call themselves, like, working class poetry.
Dude, spoken word is fire. I don't care for... I don't know nothing about the scene that you mentioned. But,
yeah.
Like, I remember the scene when I was... hated that scene, dude.
They don't like a whole lot of spoken word stuff, though. Like, they don't like the intellectual stuffy stuff. They always say, like, that sort of isn't really relatable
stuff.
To stuff. It's like, you know, being, like, smart. It's like, no, people read, you know, their poems off their phone and stuff. And, you know, they're... They talk about, like, you know, more so, more dangerous type of things, like doing drugs and stuff. And, like, you know, it's, like, more, and also more, like, relatable things of, like, working 9-to-5 jobs and stuff that. Of, like, you know, instead of people being, like, a lot of them are really great writers, which is, like, you know, it's kind of like a thing with comedians. It's, like, you know, when you think of, like, a great writer, it's really hard to, like, think of a way to describe it. But, yeah. Were you, since you did poetry and stuff, were you, like, a creative writer in, like, school? Did you do any type of that stuff?
Yeah, I was always, like, creative writing and shit. And, like,
yeah, me
theater
too.
Class. And...
Oh, you did theater?
Yeah. Drama 1 and 2. Fucking... Yeah. Creative writing classes. Hip-hop club. Hip-hop club after school.
Wow.
And just shit like that. Yeah, that shit was fun. But, yeah, I was always trying to do something.
Right.
Yeah. And I loved comedy, but I never thought I would be able to actually be funny like motherfuckers were funny.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd watch it like, how
do you do that?
Like, it's...
Yeah.
I thought it was, like, impossible. So I'm just like, I'm just going to talk about bitches.
Right. Do whatever, like,
make it
you can get to that point. And it's like, I feel like it just has to come out of you at some point. You're just like... It's like anything, with any type of person, with whatever they create, like a painter or, like, anything, like, even a chef. It's like, you're initially gonna, whatever happens, you're gonna end up, you know, doing it.
Well, I started crossing over because like poetry, the poetry scene would be so fucking sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd try to make do some funny shit. Like, there are these two guys who came in to the high school. It was Big Mike, I think his name was, and D the Schizo. Mm. There are these two guys who did like spoken word who came in, and that shit was so entertaining and like funny that I was like, I'm gonna do funny poetry now.
Right.
So I would do funny like poetry, and then that just was like, all right, so I'm getting, so I was like learning to be funny, and I was like, all right, let me just go try stand up.
Right.
I wasn't funny when I tried stand up, but like, you know, it made me want to try it.
No, I think the cool thing with stand up is it's very like, especially, what'd you say, you were 23 when you started doing stand up?
27.
27. Oh, okay. So, you know, the cool thing about stand-up is you get to learn just so much about yourself. Like, it's a lot of good, like, of course you're also, like, observing the world, but a good thing with a comedian that I always consider, like, sort of my, like, thing of, like, who is a good comedian when I first meet someone is, like, someone who's, like, self, like, examining, too.
Gotcha.
Because that's a big part of it. And it just happens, like, you know, automatically. You're just like, okay, because you're like, shit, this is how I sound to other people. This is how I come off to other people. It's like, you get really in your... Some people can't get really in your head. I envy people who don't really give a fuck. It's like, you know, like you said, like if Patrice's like him.
I mean, yo, that's the genius of being vulnerable is you know how to protect yourself.
Right.
Like, that dude, like, you know, he didn't hold any punches, but he was real with everyone, including himself.
And that's
That's so important in comedy, man. Like, I've worked on myself so much, like, I've got a ways to go, like, a lot. Like, I'm, like, there's a lot of, you know, but there's so much about me that I've changed or that, you know, I've worked on because comedy made me look at myself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really cool how that can happen because... Also, if you have a good support system with, like, comedians around, like, it can really help you. But also, it can be, like, it can also be kind of detrimental in a lot of ways, too. Because a lot of people, I think you've probably seen this, a lot of people will get really hardcore into partying.
Yeah.
Just to, like, become, like, they'll just do it to become comedians in a way.
Yeah.
And be like, his name. Yeah, Josh Tinley did a joke about this. That was just so funny. He's like, you know, I talked to someone, a comedian. He's like, doing coke all the time now. I'm a comedian. And it's like, dude, no. Like, they're like, no, dude. Like, but some people are like that. They get like into the party.
They think it's a correlation thing. It's like, oh, this guy's on all these drugs. That's why he's funny. It's like, no.
No.
You end up on these drugs because you're dedicating your life to a craft with no money.
Right, exactly.
And the only way to deal with that, the guilt of not doing something real with your life.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? So it's like, they just get the correlation fucked up.
Yeah.
Which is dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Yeah, I know why I do drugs, and it's not to be funny. I would be funnier if I didn't, like, drink so much, I think.
Yeah. And you're like a big weed guy, right?
Big weed guy. I'm not going to stop that.
Right. Yeah. Did you start that young?
Yeah, I mean, first time I smoked was, like, 14, but I really didn't start, like, smoking heavy until I was, like, 18. I don't know. It was, like, a little bit, and then it's, like, once I got old enough to just buy whenever I want, I buy whenever I want. And I just do it all the time. It's just, I don't know.
You know, it's weird for me to think.
It's my baseline.
I was, like, 24 when I started. I'm 30 now, but I was, like, 24 when I started. It was way late.
Okay.
No,
it's not late. That's a good...
That's kind of, like, a good age.
Your brain's still, like, growing.
Growing, too, like, but it's, like... But it's, like, at that point, you're just, like, okay. And I could never, like... I always have a joke about how I have this really bad hand-eye coordination from my dad. We have, like, this shaky hand type of thing in our family, so I was always afraid that I would set myself on fire. So the stuff, so I've never really, like, I think one time, I don't know if you know me, I don't really do comedy that much anymore. John Beecroft.
Okay, yeah.
He's like a one-liner Mitch Hedberg guy, very much a stoner. He was like the first guy that I did it with. It was actually Andy Manolo was who I first did it with, and he like made fun of me, but I used to do with Matt Nascimento, I used to do the vape pen thing for a little while.
Wait, your first time smoking was like with other comedians?
Yeah, other comedians. So
what was that like?
It was, were they it was just after, trying to get you It was high? After an open mic.
Yeah.
And then I went to this other open mic And it's just very, I went to this other open mic, and it was, I was on stage for maybe, like, 2 minutes, and I was trying the entire time to convince the audience that I could move the mic stand with my mind, because it was, like, 3 feet in front of me, and I was like, no, I could move it with my mind.
This is after you smoked.
Yeah. Okay. And just during my set, I'm, like, talking to people, I'm like, oh, I should put the mic back in the mic stand. I'm like, I can move it with my mind. I think I can do that.
Why not?
It was like I can. I used to have this joke about how, like, I would get, like, you know, you get subconscious about stuff. Like, I had this joke about how, like, I was outside of Raise the Bar, and I had my hand on the wall the entire time I was talking with people outside with everyone, and I'm just laughing uncontrollably at, like, jokes that people are making that are not even funny, and my hand's on the wall, and I'm like, I should take my hand off the wall. I'm, like, getting self-conscious, and I have this joke about how, like, my high tossed me through it. My high's like, no, you gotta keep your hand on the wall. This is all you have socially right now. Yeah. If you take your hand off the wall, it's gonna go, it's gonna ruin it.
This is your foundation, dude. You don't want to leave your foundation.
You don't want to leave your foundation.
That's fucking hilarious.
And then last year, I did edibles for, like, half a year, and that was good for, like, my insomnia and stuff. That was good, but I would do it twice a month. So it was like, if I didn't spread it out carefully enough, I'd just be, like, in that high days all the time, the whole month. Like, so that was a thing. And also, like,
he was on a roll.
I was just really bad with it, and like, it was good for me, like, made me more peaceful and, like, you know, a lot of stuff. It helped me with my sleeping and stuff. Amazing. But, like, I have really bad, when I get high, I have really bad cotton mouth and really, really bad, like, munchy stuff. So I, like, just eat terribly. It's like, my parents are all healthy and stuff. So, like, whenever people ask me, like, even before, like, years ago when people ask me, oh, you want to, like, get high? I'm like, I don't have enough good food in my house to get high right now. That would be, like, my excuse carrots. To do it. I'd be like, I don't have chips in my house to do this.
You're going to be hungry and mad just looking at all this water in your fridge.
Right.
It's like, damn it. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. So. That's well, like, how healthy are they? Like, are they on, like, vegan level?
No, just, no. Like, okay, just on, like, top of things. On top of
gotcha.
Things, yeah.
Gosh, no snack packs in the pantry.
Fair enough. That's what it is. Is your family pretty supportive of comedy?
Yeah. Mike. I mean, my mom puts up with me, so yeah, I guess she's supportive. She puts up with it. She's supportive. I have my brothers come out to a couple shows, you know, for the most part.
Are they older or younger than you?
I got an older brother and a younger brother. My younger brother's in Florida right now. Yeah, he lives in Florida. So, yeah, we lived in Florida for a while. We came back out here. He moved back out there, got married, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So he out there. He a Florida boy, wrestling Gators and shit.
Wow.
No, not really.
Not really. That sounds cool.
Not really. He's a server. But, Yeah, that's it, man. Freaking, yo, what? I know neither of us has done comedy outside of the States, but, like, what would be a spot out of the States that you would want to try comedy at?
Ooh. I don't know. That's a really interesting question. I guess the UK would be interested, like, Europe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Europe and the UK would be good because also they have a...
Because they're English?
They have a different... that also, because I speak English, that'd be good too. But, like, also it's a way different... It's a way different atmosphere from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. And I think it would play to my strengths as a performer more, but also it would help me, like, with sort of, I don't do good with crowd work and stuff like that. Like, I've never been like that. And I think it's because, like, when I always try not to be judgy of, like, crowd work clips and stuff online. The only thing I think about now is, like, you know, we grew up watching, like, Louis and Bill Burr, we watched their material. There are so many people nowadays that
only know
stand up from that. And that's the one thing that, like, is weird to me that I always, like, have to kind of think about. Like, I was never, like, sort of focused on crowd work. Mm-hmm. And then I get, like, my problem is, okay, I have these 8 years of jokes I've been writing, and I want people to hear them, but also you can't just do, you can't just go up like a machine or like a robot and like perform and just be like, okay, I'm going to do all my stuff and shout my material at you. There has to be a give and take, like.
Like, so you like, that's like more like the Jerry Seinfeld, Jay Leno method, where it's like, no, I have an act that I'm always nipping and tucking.
Right.
But now it's like, everybody just wants new shit all the time.
Yeah.
It's like,
or they just want, they want it to be more conversational. They want more of the person, interpersonal relationship with the comedian. And that can be tough when you're not a, when you're not a social person. I think.
See, I don't even think that's necessarily true. I think the reason why, like, there's so much crowd work on the internet is because comics don't
want
to put
their, don't want to put their stuff out there. But I also think it works well with people who are naturally talkative and naturally, like, it's kind of funny, like, with comedians, everyone sort of expects, I guess everyone sort of, this is a common thing, everyone expects comedians to sort of be on all the time and always goofy. But a lot of us are kind of, like, personal and to ourselves and not very social people. So, like, it's a weird thing to be, like, not a social person and then go into this social art form. They're like, okay, now I gotta be, like, social and talk to people and be nice and friendly. And it's like I have a friendly, like, outlooking face, but I am not as friendly as people think. Yeah. And it's like that charisma thing. I have, like, charisma on stage and stuff, of course, but, like, off stage, I don't have that, like, thing, that energy that a lot of people can have.
Yeah.
When they're more talkative, and like that leads to like stage, that's like one thing that, like, crowd work. Like, I'm like, I don't care what you do for a living. I wrote these jokes for 8 years. I want you to hear the jokes I wrote for 8 years. It's like that's the thing. But also I gotta like, the thing I'm sort of working on now is like, okay, you gotta not just do your material at people. There has to be, like, a conversational thing going on. Because you don't want to just be, like, doing comedy at one style. That's the one thing, too.
Well, do you feel that you've gotten better? Like, do you feel that, like, just being in the scene and talking to other comedians, do you feel like it's...
Oh, well, the thing that helped me was traveling with so many other comedians. And just, like, when I traveled with John Vicroth, it was just like, okay, that's how I learned to do, like, one-liner stuff.
Gotcha.
And then I lived with VJ for 2 years, so VJ Preziosi, and he's just, like, fantastic at dark humor.
Yeah.
Not just dirty humor, like, dark and very smart, like, edgy, but intellectual stuff. So we would just, it was crazy, me, him, and Caprio just in a car together, like, two of Mike to a show, coming back. And just, like, all three of our different personalities.
Yeah.
And, like, I was so proud one time I made VJ laugh. He was just being, like, himself, so irreverent and stuff in the car. And I was like, this is comedians in cars being canceled. And it made him laugh so hard. And I was like, that made me feel so good that I made him laugh like that.
Do you feel that helped with, like, the social
thing? But, like, it helped with the social thing. Like, I've always fiddled well socially with comedians, most people. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that happened was, I was like, okay, I found all these people that I wish I knew when I was younger because I just relate to them so much. But then also, you're not going to get along with everybody. Yeah. And it was just like certain personality. So I was like, oh, yeah, the mean guy does become a comedian sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like a weird thing. You're like, everyone, like, you kind of think like, oh, all the outcasts and like people are together as comedians. And then you're like, no, shit. The bully is kind of funny. He's going to become a comedian, too.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like dealing with a
variety of people doing this shit. I'll say that.
And it's like, also, like, you just got to take some things not as serious. You know, some things are just not as, you know, that's the one thing that you have to learn, too, is, like, a lot of people don't have bad intentions. Like, some people just have that thing about them that you're just going to, like, an example I'll make is, like, someone like Brian St. John.
Okay,
Like, he's a nice guy, deep down, but you know he's gonna, like, fuck with you. Someone like that is, like, rough around the edges.
But it's like, he does it in such an entertaining way, it's not even, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you just have guys like that. Like, that's the one thing, too, is it keeps you out of your shell and teaches you how to be around people. Like, that's the one thing, too, about comedy that's really cool is we get to see so many different, like, lifestyles. And, like, the cool thing for me is, like, seeing people from, you know, other, you know, backgrounds and races and, like, lifestyles of just, you know, that's the cool thing. You kind of get into, like, this melting pot of everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the greatest things with stand-up. It's just, if it's a mic or, like, a show, like, you need variety of all types of stuff. Have you dealt with, like, a lot of hecklers or anything? Like, with your...
Yeah, like, in the beginning, not so much now. I haven't too much. I think it's just because... I think it's part of, like, that stand-up... That boom of stand-up going on the internet. People will always have heckler material.
Oh,
so now I feel like people are, like, more wary about heckling. But when I was starting, all the time, man. You just have drunk people just fucking...
Yeah.
All the time, man. But, And before, it was, like, I always was trying to do, like, a darker humor. I always loved dark humor.
Right.
So, it's, like, I was always trying that out and maybe not doing it right.
Right.
So, I would have
so
people,
of course,
like,
you're going to get pushback. Like,
yeah, yeah. So, just some pushback or just, like, people just trying to chime in or, like, you know. But, you know, I'd learned to handle it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, like, your style is confrontational in any type of way. It just has that, like, that bitterness to it, that bite to it.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Matter of fact, you know, I got heckled last night, but I'm just so used to, like, all
right,
I'm done with you.
Right.
Anyway, like
to me,
I'm so
I either,
good at just shutting people down, and then they're like, all right, let me just shut up.
I either go, like, too timid or too mean. I'm just like...
That was
too.
My
it's like,
for a long time.
If you go too mean, like...
You lose everything.
For the most part, because for the most part, there's, like, a sweet spot. Like, people want to root for you as the hero, in a way. Like, audiences, members like that. But there is times when you can... Go over that line of, like, okay, now I lost everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm remembering one. I don't even know what fucking restaurant this was in. Who was with me? I did some show, and there was a heckler in the audience, and I just, like, was shitting on, like, everyone was laughing. I was crushing. Some guy kept, like, talking during my joke, and I was like, and I was, like, trying to, like, do a joke on him. I don't remember what I said, but I lost the audience immediately. Just the fact that I even acknowledged this guy. Didn't even like that I was talking to him.
Right.
And that just bombed for the rest of the... I was like, what happened?
Right.
Like, yo, like was it? Was he related to everybody? Like, what's happening?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
He wasn't, like, it would be funny if it was, like... Special needs, and I didn't realize until, like, but no, that wasn't it. He was just some drunk douchebag.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Everyone just.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's probably, like, yeah, that was so embarrassing.
Yeah, when I was starting out, like, 1 year and 6 months in, 2 years in, I would do these bringer shows in New York, which, like, I knew they were, like, most of them were scams, so, like, some of them had good people involved, and I just, like, my thing was, like, okay, I got to do this material for, like, I'll get, like, on a show for, like, you know, 3 weeks I'll be able to practice and then perform in front of my family and these people. And I just remember one of my first times, I did a lot of, like, atheist material, which would work really well in New York with a lot of younger people, like, in their 20s and late 20s. But then their grandmothers would get upset at the audience. They'd be like, I'm being heckled by a 90-year-old.
Yeah.
How do I deal with this emotionally?
Well, She's at death's door. She don't want to hear that shit.
Right, exactly.
You know, 90, you don't hear, like, what? No heaven.
Right, exactly.
Tell me this now? Fuck.
Yeah. So.
Hey, I'm too old to, like, go have fun and shit now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you could have their whole lives.
Yeah. So it's like, that was the thing to deal with, too, is, like, just my material is very much, like, I'm not very offensive with my stuff. I always wish that I was more. I used to have I don't have many hardcore opinions anymore. I used to be so opinionated when I started out. I don't know if you can relate to this. Like, when I started out, I was such an opinionated person, had all these views, and, like, really helped with writing jokes. And now, like, I'm such a chill person, which is good for real life. But for a comedian, it's terrible. You can't be chill as a comedian. Like, no, everything's...
Yeah, I'll look at things in all these different ways and always be able to come at it... But now I'm like, who gives a fuck about anything?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Who gives a fuck about anything, dude? I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to put gas in my car.
Right, exactly.
Like,
you, like, get into, like, that adult mindset of, like, okay, I got to do, like, real shit.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, you know. But the good thing with that is you also get to, especially doing comedy at a young age, you get to look at your your views and your jokes from different eras too. Do you ever look at stuff like that from like that you did like years ago and you're like, oh, I have a different take on this now, or I have a different way to tell this joke? Because that always happens to me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like I was just like more edgy. Like I was more edgy, and now like there's just shit I just won't touch. Like, or that I just don't think is as now some of it is just hack to me now.
There's a lot of that. Like, I'm always curious with someone that's in sort of that darker type of comedy, how they deal with like what they consider hack. Like, what is your sort of like, I guess, main distinction of like what hack is?
I mean, just like bringing up like a point that's been driven to the ground, just an issue that's been driven to the ground. And it's like, let's say like I would have more jokes like about like women back then, but now it's like everybody has a YouTube channel where they just like sit like three girls down and wag their finger at him. Everyone has like, and it's like, it seems like it's like you can't say anything. Like now it's just like, I'm not like a red pill dude. Like, I'm just gonna back off. Like, right. You know, I'm not gonna do jokes about
this. I think also that's a hard thing with comedy. That's a lot of things that happen too, is people try to figure people out through their act too. Yeah. And it's hard because like some people, you know, some people are cool with that. Like they're cool with people examining them. Like, I think Louis relishes in that. Someone like Louis C.K., he relishes in people sort of digesting his stuff in different ways. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he likes. But then I see someone like Mark Norman, who I love. He's someone who's just like Jerry Seinfeld in a way of like, I don't like people to know my real thoughts on shit. Like, I don't want people to know my real opinions on anything. And people trying to figure me out in my act. And it's like, that's just what happens with people sometimes. They just, you know, they take, it's also part of it is, I think so many people are watching stand-up now, like just through Netflix and everything, that there's more of a cultural impact on stand-up, but not a cultural like impact on like comedy fans, hardcore comedy fans. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people that pay attention to comedy really shouldn't be watching stand-up because they don't like it. It's like,
a lot of the stand-up that's been coming up is just,
it's like, that's what I noticed, like, you know, I always used to hate, like, rage against, like, online critics for comedy, because I'm like, there are a few critics for comedy that are actually, like, comedy fans and, like, really into it. Yeah. But for the most part, I don't want a person whose whole job is, you know, critiquing shows on Netflix and then treating stand-up like it's type of any type of other TV show or movie. It's like, you gotta look at it from a different perspective. Yeah. And it's such a, like, you gotta know the genre. And I think that's the thing that
the outlet for comedy is different now, too, though.
Yeah.
It's like, you got people who, like, barely watch stand-up because they watch clips. Oh, I like this person. Let me listen to a 3-hour podcast. But they won't sit down for a half hour and watch the stand-up special. And then, it's weird.
Yeah, and the thing with the podcast, this is the thing that always annoys me with kind of those, is, and this happens with, I think, every comedian at some level, especially with those big podcasts, is they sort of get this, like, mindset of, oh, these people, they like my jokes and stuff, but they care about my opinion and my views. And that always sort of, like, ruins it for me. Rough. Like, I love Tom Segura as a comic. Yeah, yeah. Every time I've seen him talk on his podcast, talk out, like, publicly, I'm like, I don't like that dude. But as a comic, I love him. Yeah, I'm like, comic. His special, I'm like, I could give a shit what his real life views are.
Yeah. Why do I need to know what all these people are really like for? Right. Like you're ruining all the majesty, all the majesty and all the mystery.
Right.
By just telling me who the fuck you are. Right. Like, I don't want to know.
And it's like, I think just people get like into that too much. That's just my criticism. It's just It's like,
so much
but also, like, you don't want to be like, oh, Dance Monkey Dance, I only want to see you perform. Because stand-up is a representation of your views sometimes, of your, like, essence of, like, what you are. So there is a representation of yourself inside there. But it's just hard when people kind of want to also use their comedy for, like, to get on like a soapbox about something.
Yeah.
Like, that's really tough.
That's rough. Yeah. I don't even like seeing comedy like that anymore. I used to, but like now I just like, because so many people have done it. I just I don't even like seeing opinionated comedy.
Right. Yeah. I think it's it really wears down on you. Like for me, I've been I'm trying not to talk about myself way too much on my podcast, but I've been for the past 4 years I've been writing my first hour special that I want to do. And it's called What the Dwekas Love. For like that style is like my Birbiglia was always my person with that. Especially as early, you know, but I like too. But like just that is always cool to meet people who can sort of do that. Like
Birbiglia got stuff like that? I've only seen some of his stuff. I've always seen like his like real silly stuff.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But no, he is great. Yeah. There's, was there any other type of, like, media that, like, you kind of liked, like, in far as, like, comedy go, like, movies or anything, like?
Yeah, sure, like, you know, you got, like, Dirty Work was, like, my favorite movie of all time when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Dirty Work was the shit, Norman, Artie Lang, you know, all the Adam Sandler movies were
yeah.
cool. But, like, yeah, I mean, but I always thought stand-up was dope, though.
Oh,
always,
yeah.
Like, stand-up was always, like, unreal to me.
Stand-up, when I got into it as, like, a hardcore fan, that was, like, super cool to me. Because just, like, everyone, like, I think the funny thing, the thing now that's, like, crazy is everyone wants to, with the way that the internet is, of course, everyone wants to start, you'll see it on YouTube all the time and, like, different comedians that start out right away, they want to, like, record everything. And it's like, no, you have to give yourself that time to fail in the dark.
Yeah.
Of like, you know.
I was the same way, shit. Hell yeah.
But that's how it used to be. You used to not see a comedian for 10, 15 years that they were working on their stuff. And then you'd see them on Letterman. And it'd be like, no, this guy has been doing stand-up for like 10 years. But this is the first time people are seeing them on a big stage.
Yeah.
And now everyone's like, they kind of want to record the movie or TV show of their life of doing stand-up. And it's like, no, you got to give yourself that time to fail.
Put that time in, yeah.
Because there's a lot of just paying your dues with stuff and just doing shows and like... Just
figuring it out.
Figuring it out, yeah.
Hey, what? It was wild.
Yeah. How much... This is kind of a rarity question, I guess. How much material do you think you have now, like, as far as, like, time goes?
Man, I probably got a ton of material in my phone that I got to brush up on, but, like... As far as, like, what I'm willing to, like, ready and willing to, like, perform, like, right now, I could do, like, a half hour would be the most.
That's great.
I would say, like I have, like, I've been able to develop, like, I think a decent half hour. Like, I could be on stage for a half hour and do well.
Right.
Yeah. But, like, you know.
Have you been, you've been pretty good about starting your own shows, right, and getting on shows? Because it seems like you have really carved out a good niche with that of... You know, find the people that you want to work with and do stuff with. Is that what you're mostly doing? Like, kind of your own, creating your own stuff rather than getting put on stuff?
Lately, I've been just getting put on stuff. Before, when I was with, like, Space Station, I was doing, like, a lot of, like, independent shows. But I kind of got tired of producing. I've just been laying back.
Right.
I'll do stuff with, of course, with the Dojo Comedy.
Right.
With those guys. And, but, like, you know. Yeah, like... I got to get back at it just because it's like, that's extra money in my pocket. I got to start doing that again. But like, I was just so tired of throwing shows after a while. I was like, damn, dude.
Right.
So I'm not even that good at it.
I could never.
I'm not good at hosting.
I'm not good at any of that stuff.
The back.
Oh, it's all the stuff.
I can do all the comedy shit. I can host. I could do the set. As far as like, I'm just bad at like production. Like,
no, dealing with that whole entire thing is tough.
I never liked
it. You know, it's like, but I think no one really likes that thing. Like, that's the thing that's, like, interesting is we don't like the business side of anything with comedy.
Yeah,
like, dude. Anyone who gets involved in, like, the business side of comedy, we all hate. We're all like...
That's why we chose comedy. Yeah, we're just fucking like, around. We don't want to do any actual work.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Just laugh at my shit.
Just laugh at it. Yeah.
Someone else set it up.
Someone else set it up. Just... Get the stage. Get everything.
Yeah, get everything. I'll just say jokes.
Yeah.
Should be like that.
Yeah. It's just so tough. Like, getting booked is really tough for you because there's just so many good people around. It's just like that, like, I go so in and out of being, like, confident in my stuff and then, like, self-conscious about stuff. How's your, like, attitude with stuff? Do you feel like you're pretty confident in your material nowadays?
Yeah, I would say so. Pretty confident. I mean, you know, I'm always, like, trying to figure out, like, whatever audience I'm in, like, all right, what should I do now? Sometimes I'll be like, oh, man, is it going to do good? Is it going to do bad? But I'm pretty confident with my material. It's hard doing new stuff, though.
Oh, doing new stuff is
scary. Like, yeah, that confidence goes back down whenever I have, like, a new bit I'm trying to do, and then it bombs. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just trying, like, whenever I get comfortable with something, I'm trying to do something else
right,
that same. I can get comfortable with. That way I can build more and more material.
Right, yeah. I was, did you have any, like, specific things that you kind of worked on? Like, last year, I kind of worked more on doing, like, callbacks, like, learning how to write those and work those out. Did you have anything like that you were sort of working on for a period of time?
Definitely. Oh, excuse me. Like, a couple of years ago, like, the biggest thing I did was, like, I was riffing for a long time. Mm-hmm. That was probably my biggest, like, escalation in progress in comedy was when I was just forcing myself to riff. And now that I feel like I kind of have that, like, ability under my belt. Now what I'm trying to focus on is really fleshing out the premises that I have and writing. I've been focusing a lot on writing. So, and then I'm going to go back to riffing again, like, you know, just to keep, because that's been going down a little bit because I've been writing so much. It's like working out. It's like a muscle. It's like my writing muscle's big, but now my riff muscle's going down. I got to, you know, you just got to keep working out.
Do you, when you write down stuff, are you just like a sit down and write person with jokes, or is it just sort of like going through?
Not really. Like, so I'll, like, write the premise, and then I'll just write, like, individual tags.
Right.
And then I'll perform it, and then I'll record my performance, and then based on, like, what tag, I'll only write down premises and tags, and the joke will get built the more I see it and nip it and tuck it in my head. Maybe I'll write new tags in, but I'm not trying to say the same thing. Yeah. I'm not trying to say the joke the same way twice.
I can never get that to work. Like, I'll have a joke that'll work, like, a new joke that'll work right away, like, pretty well. And it'll have all the, like, ums and uhs in it that I don't like to have in it. But it will be the best that joke has ever done the first time it's done. And, like, I can never really fully, like, recreate, like, okay, what word do I keep in? What words do I keep in? And just fleshing everything out.
Yeah, a good joke is always going to be, like, the best when, like, you're still, like, newly in love with it and you're performing it. And then it's, like, yeah, when I perform a new joke that I fuck with, I'll throw in all these tags and I'll be, like, and I'll say it this way. And it's just because it's new to me and it's, it comes out more genuine because it's less rehearsed.
Right.
And I guess, you know, the more you just, the audience must be able to see it. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like, all right, he said this joke a million times. Like,
right.
You know?
Well, I think that's what we see with comedians. Like, I always feel so bad for my comedian friends that have to watch me do sets because I just, like, I'm not as, I love all these people that are, you know, that come up with new stuff all the time. I'm not as, I don't know the word for it. I don't come up with new stuff as much. I'm like, I kind of keep the same, like, stuff in. And that's mostly just, like, wanting to do well.
I mean, it's like, that nursing home bit is, like, probably, like, one of my oldest jokes. Like,
was as old
as I have been doing comedy. Like,
yeah, that was the one thing that I was, like, I wanted to... The one thing that I wanted to see was just something that was, you know, that was new-ish. So I was just like... But, of course, we always have those bits that, like, everyone that we like and, like, the type of bits that, like, kind of stand out for us.
Yeah.
To people, of like, okay, I like when I go see this person, like, at the mic or at the show, like, what they do. Like, I always had that with people. Of like, they're not going to do the set that I want them to do all the time because I just like certain jokes.
Yeah.
Like, I have that with everyone. I'm like, if they do, like, those jokes that I love, like, that's what I prefer. But no one wants to do all that stuff that works, like, all the time.
Exactly.
So I'm like, that's the funny thing with, like, watching my friends and stuff and people. It's like, oh, I want them to do these three jokes tonight just because I love those jokes. But I also understand that impulse of, like, oh, no, I don't want to do those jokes. I've done them a million times. Yeah.
Well, I feel like people can just pick up on it after a certain point. Unless you're really good at acting them out.
Yeah. And then sometimes with comedians, like, with our friends and stuff, it just becomes, like, your signature bits too, yeah, which is cool. Because it's like people can sort of like, it's like music, they can get like, remember the lyrics and everything. Like I have this Garfield joke that I do, and like I have like all these little things that people remember. And then, like, do you ever have bits like that? Where, like, you probably do. Where people are like, oh, I like that bit that you do.
Yeah, dude.
And, like, they want you to do it all the time.
Oh, yeah. Dude, well, there's some... So I had this joke about, like, I had an old Hitler joke.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that's one I don't really do that much anymore.
Right.
But, like, it was about how, like, Hitler, like, invented the highway. And it's just a joke. Like, right. You know what I mean? And then the Kanye came out with that. Kanye had like an interview where he was like, "Hitler was a great man. He invented the highway." It's like, he didn't really invent the highway. And then it was like, I can't say that joke anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to think I'm actually
serious. My Kanye material had to go away because I had a lot of jokes about him. He came out with this song a couple years ago called I Love It. And he's talking about all this like sexual stuff and like how kinky he is. But none of the stuff he mentions is kinky at all. It's like yeah. I'm so kinky, I like hand jobs and blow jobs. I'm like no. And the joke I had is like, you'd be kinky if you had Kim Kardashian dress up as a nun and like whip you. Like that would be like,
yeah.
And then that's funny. I had this whole entire like thing where I call him like a bunch of like silly like insults. I call him like a knucklehead and silly goose, and then I departed it into like, if there was actually, like, an anthropomorphic, like, silly goose, like, serious goose, like, what that would be like a serious goose. And the joke I had was, like, I go downstairs, and he's, like, sitting reading a newspaper. His name is Terry, like, my old high school bully. He's just, you know, that name, Terry. He's drinking tea, not coffee, because he's an asshole. He thinks he's better than everyone. It's just, like, I came up with this whole entire side narrative of the serious goose, and it never fucking it was just like, I did the Kanye bit into that, and it was just like, I like doing it.
But that's a great bit.
It never fucking worked. It was like, but it's like, you just have those bits sometimes where you're like, I like that.
Dude, I had a lot of those bits where I was just like, sorry, bye, you have to go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's like, no, they don't like it. And then when you bring it back sometimes people will appreciate it. They'll be like, okay, that is... But I think people just remember all the memorable stuff that we kind of do, like the irrelevant shit that you can kind of come up with.
I have jokes that only work sometimes.
Oh, it's yeah.
Like, yeah, I have a joke about like how like white women are like homeless people. That's a rough sell.
Rough
sell. Because like, the whole thing is like, you know, they both drink at 12 a.m.
Right.
Or 12 p.m. They just call it brunch or whatever. Right. Yeah, you know, like...
No, that has, like, a ton of tags, though. That's, like, something that I can think of that, like, has so much that you can work with and take, like...
Yeah, but they don't like that premise.
No, it's a premise. Like, it's a hard sell. Even if I get
some people laughing at the joke, it's hard to bring them on that ride, you know? It's
right.
Hard to bring them, like, you gotta really...
Yeah, because I feel like you have to, like, especially with what I've just seen with that type of humor, you kind of have to, like... Show your cards a little bit. Like, you kind of have to break character a little bit. Yeah. And kind of show that you're a good person, which really sucks, because you don't want to ruin the joke.
Exactly.
But you also don't want to be seen in a negative light that you don't mean to portray.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see a lot of people doing nowadays, is, like, they have to put that line in, even though it kind of ruins the magic of it a little bit, just because people are so stupid nowadays that they don't understand, like, cadence or whatever separates a joke. Sometimes people will have to, like, put subtitles in to, like, their comedy. And it's like, you shouldn't have to do that.
It used to be premise punchline, but now it's premise justification.
Justification then punchline.
It's like, what the? It's like, a new thing in there.
It's like a new thing in there. And it's like subtitles. Or it's like, you know, it's like, you know, when you see, like, something that says, like, oh, like parental warnings on, like, a TV show. Yeah, it's like that. It's like, yeah, that's just it. And to me, I can understand how frustrating that is. Because for me, I'm just like, I have the openness of like, oh, I can just talk about these certain things that affect me. That's a one thing too. And it's like also dealing with people, you know, laughing at the right things. But that, you also had that too. Do you ever have people that will laugh at the wrong part of your joke? Does that ever happen? or like not get the point of it in like a negative type of aspect.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. I've been on stage and I've been like, it's like, yeah, so I'm single. Everyone laughs. I'm like, that's not the funny part. What the fuck, dude? Exactly. That's not cool. Yeah. But like, you know, I have more instances of like people like laughing at the parts of like I have like little mini tags that most people won't catch. And then if someone laughs at them, I'm like, yeah, that guy's cool.
When they can catch it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love sneaking in those little ones. And that people just get.
I'll put things in there that I just think are funny, or like little just even expressions.
Oh,
that
yeah.
I just think are funny. So I just appreciate when other, you know, it's just more that validation I crave whenever they laugh at the other parts. I'm like, yeah, cool.
Yeah. So, I didn't ask you about this yet. You have your, we were talking about a little bit before, you have your YouTube podcast, what's it called? Dojo Cats, yeah.
Yes, I'm due for another episode. Is that episode. New? Fairly new, I guess it really started picking up in December, but I've only had like 6-7 episodes because I gotta be more consistent with it, you know?
No, I mean, when doing my podcast, it's like crazy how many people I just have it all the time, and you know, it's scheduling and it's everything.
Yeah.
And like just being consistent is the major thing with it. Yeah, dude. It's like insane.
Well, I like the Dojo Cast podcast because like my whole the whole way I approach that is I just go interview or do a sit everyone down with
there.
If there's a show, I'm like, who's featuring? I'm like, cool. Ask them if they would mind. And I really try to keep it short, like 20, 30 minutes tops.
Right.
Because, just with, interview stuff, I don't even, really know the person.
Right.
I just try to, just ask a few questions that they didn't expect me to ask, and then, all right.
Yeah.
You're good, thanks. Like, just to, you know, not to inconvenience them.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, for me, it's always crazy. Like, I usually just do an hour with the podcast, and then I've been having people over and talk to them for 2 hours. It's crazy because you know, comedy is so much just a part of our life. It's so much of what we do. So that's the cool thing. And the cool thing with this podcast and any podcast is we get to see the outside of people. Because we feel like we see each other all the time. With comedians, we're like, oh, we see this person 3 times a week probably at open mics. And then you're like, no, there's days off that you don't see these people. Yeah. And that's the cool thing to learn about. What are these people's hobbies? What do they do for work and stuff?
Yeah, who they are.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that's the cool thing. Do you have you watched any recent specials?
Yeah, Dan Soder.
Oh, Dan Soder. He came out with a new one.
It was great, man.
I gotta watch that one. Man. He's so good. Oh, my God.
It's hilarious. And, he's another guy who's, it's so funny because, when he came out with the special, I mean, it's not even a special. He just calls it, new material.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so funny because, it looks like this. That is, just something extra. Because he's on so many podcasts.
Yeah.
That it looks like podcasts are the big thing, and, stand-up specials are just, a thing that comedians do on the side, that's not particularly with his, that's just what made me think of it that way.
But a lot of them are more.
The times are changing.
A lot of them are more advertisements now. That's the main thing that I've seen. I've heard
exactly.
Mark Norman talk about that. How they're more advertisements. When you used to see specials, they used to be the main thing that you worked on for. That's the one thing that I've had with writing mine is okay, how much new stuff can I put in this when I have all this stuff that I want to do? And it's crazy though, because you want to have that that thing of okay, this is it's what's the word for it? It's okay, this is my grand thing that I just worked on. And it's cool though, just to see people's act develop, and also to see how your act personally develops. That's the coolest thing to me. It's to look at how you were when you started. And now that you have all this material and stuff, I came up with a great analogy for when people are starting out in stand-up. I kind of found out a great, because I see a lot of new people nowadays doing stand-up. And I came up with this analogy. Doing stand-up when you're starting out, in the very beginning, it's like rock climbing blindfolded. And then once you do comedy, a little bit more each time, it just it comes off. The blindfold comes off. You know where to reach. You know where to go. You know what place to go. You can reach around. But you're just throwing shit at the wall. You're just trying to grab first, anything.
Just like, is this something? Is this something? That's going to fall. I'm going to bomb if I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that, dude.
It's like, you know, and just getting more comfortable. And then the thing with getting more comfortable on stage is getting, like, because comedy is, I don't know if you can relate to this or not. I don't really like the whole lot of, like, are you into the roast battle type of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I've always liked the, I like regular roasts. Like, roast battles are cool, though. But I've always been a big fan of, like, the regular roasts.
I think regular roasts are cool when it's, like, you kind of know people, you know each other.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that always, like, and irks me is the, like, hip-hop influence in comedy really kind of irks with me, because I'm, like, I'm a self-deprecating humor type of guy, and that's very, like, old school compared to what people do nowadays. Gotcha. People, like, want to be, like, the like, they want to be on top. They want to be, like, the winner. They want to be, like, cool on stage. Like, whenever I see, like, a new person, like, they'll, like, flirt with the audience, the girls in the audience, I'm like, no. I never did that. You want to look like an idiot on stage. Like, my whole thing has been look dumb, look, like, silly on stage. Don't look cool.
If you
want
to be more vulnerable. Like, if you're really doing this because it's like, who's really, like, how memorable is that really? Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and some people can work it out. Some people can.
Sure.
Very few people can. Like, you know Ricky, right?
Ramsey.
Yeah. Like, he can pull that shit off of being cool on stage. Like, no one else can.
I mean, you know what it is? It's because that's, like, you know, it's just so genuine. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it's funny. It's like, some people, it's like, you can't go be out there really trying to be cool type shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's so funny because his thing is over the top because he has the glasses and the cup.
Yeah.
But it's like, but it's still like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's made it like, what's the word, in a way of, like, it's digestible in a way.
Yes,
that's
100%.
So cool.
Yeah, dude.
And
that's the guy.
He's such a cool guy.
Oh, yeah,
by the way, that's one thing that helps. It's like when someone has that, like, that's what I always have. I always get very defensive of people who sort of push the boundaries, like him and like you. I always have to, like, I always want to, like, thank people. Like, no, they're a really good guy.
It's so funny because, like, people always tell me, it's like, yeah, you're such a, like, a dark comedian, and you push the boundary. I'm like, I didn't even. Like, if everyone says that, I'm like, I don't know. I'm just trying to be funny.
Well, at least you have. Well, that's a good thing, then.
No, it's not, because I don't know what boundaries I'm pushing.
No, that's a good thing, because you're not doing it to be shocking.
Yeah,
I
no,
think,
it's just
I
the
think
comedy
that's a main
I like,
thing.
Dude. Like,
yeah,
like, you know,
that's
just
the comedy.
I
like, I have this same type of thing with my humor. Is like, whenever I'm a little bit meaner or edgier, like, it gets to people. I'm like, oh, they like that. And I'm like, I can't do that all the time, because it just would wear off. Like, it would lose its steam really quickly if I was just that all the time. But if I stay on stage, I'm like, okay, I'm calm and silly, and then, like, I have a little bit of edge to it. It's like, okay. Because also, being in, like, the tri-state. Oh, no, it's fine. Being in, like, the tri-state, like, northeast area of, like, New Jersey, New York, and Philly, it's a very much, like, tougher audiences. So you have to be tough too. You have to, like, stand up for yourself on stage and be like, okay, I belong here. So you have to be kind of like, that's the one thing I learned, is that some audiences love to be like scalded a little bit.
Yeah.
They like to be like, you know, that's one thing that, like, you'll see a
lot.
You
gotta win them over sometimes.
If you ever deal with, like, that's the one thing, like, we kind of, I think a lot of us, you know, in our generation, we kind of, like, complain if there's, like, a boomerish audience. And it's like, you know what happens when you have those people? They're just going to shit on millennials or whatever. You got to make fun of them, because they love being roasted.
Yeah.
They love you being mean back to them. It's like, you got to show that you have, like, that you're not afraid.
Yeah. Do people want to be entertained, man? If it's you holding back.
Yeah.
They're not gonna. Who the fuck wants to see a movie where, like, the main character's like, I don't know if I should jump out of this building or not.
Right.
Nah, you just want to see him break through that window and, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just,
you want to see him. And also, it's like, it's a lot of. Also, it's the cool thing with stand up too, is like, it's like 80% confidence, really.
Yeah.
Of, like, if you can convince people that you're confident and you know what you're doing, you don't really have to know what you're doing. It's like the trick. It's kind of like a trick to it. Like, we don't want to be authentic and stuff, but also there is that thing of like, oh, I can go on stage, and you know, to me, I'm like, I have this nervous energy. I know that I have it. I always mention it like right away, but I also mention that I'm like constantly good at it. So it's like a good thing to mention, because I always, my philosophy is, I always feel like, you've seen Seinfeld before, right?
Sure,
I love like Seinfeld. You know how like when Kramer comes in and like in the first 5 seconds you know who he is.
Yeah.
Like that's how I feel every comedian should be. You get on stage the first like 5 seconds, people need to nail like what your sort of gimmick is, what your sort of thing is, like who's this guy? Like, and if you can nail that in like 5 seconds, 5-10 seconds, I'm like, okay, this guy. This is what his whole entire groove is. That's sort of what you need, like just to start with.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, and it's funny because like we end up like kind of, I feel like that's what kind of makes us build these characters, because like at the end of the day we all are a character.
Yeah.
And we're not ever, like, at least I'm not trying to be.
No.
But it's just I gotta put something forward for like for me to get this material out.
Yeah.
I gotta be like
you this need to guy. Have that guy, and then the cool thing is being that person on stage and then figuring out what ways to add stuff in.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, this I can add in. This I can share about myself, because there's a lot of times I'll be like, oh, that was confessional more than a joke. That was like, a little too real.
That was just for me. I had to get it off my chest.
Right. Which is healthy. You know, for stand-up, that's a major healthy thing, too, is that sort of expressing yourself. I don't think you want to go too far. I think that can kind of happen. It's people kind of like, you know, it's like we said before, with people like kind of sharing their opinionated comedy is a lot of that happens sometimes. Is people just sort of, they think, oh, everyone loves my thoughts. And it's like, no, you got to come up with jokes in between.
Yeah. No one just wants to hear you think. Dude.
Right.
No one, like, that's just straight ego.
It's just it's like a thing to me. But I'm always.
Yo, would you mind if I hit the bathroom real quick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. So you have the new podcast that you're working on. Anything else that you're sort of doing?
Yeah, I got the podcast. I'm doing it with the dojo. I'm doing this RNA comedy with Arnold Peter, where we're going to be producing some shows together. That's going to be the April 1st with Rich Voss.
Mm-hmm. Have you been like able to like interact with Rich Voss a little bit?
Well, yeah, I mean, especially at the dojo, that's kind of how I was able to meet him and stuff. I opened up for him, like, a couple weeks ago over there.
Was he cool to you?
Yeah.
That's good. Cool
as you'd expect.
Yeah.
He's funny as hell, man.
No, he's funny.
He's too funny, dude. He just, so it was me. I was in the green room with Jesse Montanez.
Yeah. Jesse.
And he just looks at Jesse. He's like, hey. You know, with that Palestine shit, are you? And he's like, Jesse's like, because I guess because he's brown or whatever.
Wow.
Jesse's like, no, I'm a Jew like you. He's just like, all right, good. And then he doesn't ask me. Some other comedians come in. He doesn't ask them. Vishnu Vaka comes in. He's like, are you with that Palestine shit? I'm like, dude, that's how he's just every brown person. He's just going to ask that question too. I thought it was hilarious.
No,
like,
that's funny.
It was just funny. It was nothing like it was lighthearted. It was funny.
Yeah.
Cracked me up.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I was chilling in the green room the other day with him and Aaron Berg. They were just roasting each other. It was crazy.
Oh yeah.
It was crazy just watching.
That's always cool to see those like
see real comedians.
That stuff. Yeah, when you see those people like those interactions, you're like, oh yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. That shit was, both those guys are hilarious, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're both hilarious.
Have you been doing any stuff with Danny Braff at all?
Yeah, he had me on a couple shows. He had me on, where was I? On two Boston Comedy Club shows. There was one
that's
in,
great.
Where was that fucking first one at? Like, Poughkeepsie, New York?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had another one, like, down South Jersey, Three's Brewery, some place like down South Jersey, even further than the one in New York somehow. New Jersey's so huge.
Right.
But yeah, he had me on a couple of those. Yeah, Brass is always doing big things, man. He's always right, doing big yeah. names.
I always feel like I've had him on the playoffs once. I always feel like he's living the life that I want.
Oh, dude, he's doing the damn thing.
He's
dude.
Doing it. Like, he's doing it.
We were at the show at Poughkeepsie. He's like, oh, Braff's actually at this place down the street. I'm going to go get a guest spot at this club real quick and go do comedy with Joe List real quick. And yeah, he just came just right like, back. So I'm like, cool. Oh, look at that. Good for you.
He's just built really good relationships with people and, like, really cool. I mean,
he did it, yo. He was running shows when a lot of people weren't. You know what I'm saying? So, good on him, man. He deserves it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's fucking hysterical.
Besides Rich Ross, have you met, like, any other, like, professional comedians that were, like, really cool to you? Or
Aaron Burr. Willie Barceno's pretty cool dude. Ari Shaffir.
Oh, really?
Man, Ari Shaffir, he was cool. I didn't speak to him much. Akash Singh.
Oh, really? I guess
he's probably, like, the, like, very cool. Like, he's, like, very, like, respectful and, like why not, like remember everyone's name type shit, look you in your eyes.
Oh, wow.
Like, tell you, like, I know your name. Like so, all right, bye, Raphael. Have a good one. Like, wow. They don't, like, I remember your name.
That's
type
so
shit,
cool.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's cool.
That's awesome.
That's just, like, at the dojo. I think, like, probably, like, I was at Five Guys with Elazar.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in line, and Elazar just goes, is that Roy Wood Jr. over there?
Oh.
I was just look over. I'm like, yeah, holy shit, it is. Like, I think he's hysterical, dude. Like, one of the most underrated comedians.
He's one of my favorites. Yes, dude. Very underrated. Oh. Love his stuff. I was listening to his one of his old albums. He's so funny. He's right. Just like, he's so great with...
Funny as hell.
With everything that he does.
Yeah, he was there with his family, and like, so we just waved at him, and then we just went back to it. We didn't want to bother him.
Right.
We got our food. He gets his food. He went, sat his family down, and then came up to us like, hey, guys, appreciate you. Like, you know, good, you know, thanks for, like, being fans. You know, because he appreciated us, like, not bothering him while he was with his family. He came up to us, said hello. We're like, yo, dude, you're fucking dope. Like, da-da.
Yeah, that's
awesome. That was definitely the coolest interaction.
That's so cool.
Like, just because, like, you know... Yeah. Oh, that was dope.
Yeah, that's always awesome.
Yeah, Mark Norman. Seen him a handful of times.
Yeah, I had a chance to meet him in Knighton. I was like, he was doing a show with Joe McAndrew's crew, who I used to be like friends with. You know, it's kind of like those things. Like, you know, I'm so close with him, but it's like I kind of moved out of that friend group. And it's like, if I stayed with that friend group, I would have been on that show with Mark Norman in 2018. And it's just like, I almost met him, but I got like, I don't know why I got too shy, and I just went and got pizza instead, and was like, but I kick myself every day. I see him, because I hear he's so nice.
He's nice, and he's mad, but he really is just so himself. Like, how are you actually really like that?
Yeah.
Like you would think it's such a character, because he's, like, so cheeky and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember, like, I think it was maybe the second time I met him, we're at the dojo. We're waiting for one guy to come in before we do a show. He's like, yeah, we got one more guy. He's running a little late. He looks right at me. He's like, oh, a black guy. I was like, ah, that's funny. So, like, just like, yo, dude never turns it off. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's just hilarious.
He's great. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I always have that. Like, if I ever get the chance to meet him, I'm going to say hello to him. I just have that, like, should, yeah. That thing in my head. Like, I should have done it in 2018. I need to do it.
He's definitely a good guy.
But, yeah. I've always been in, like,
Bobby
weird
Kelly,
vicinities. Oh,
Bobby
someone else?
Kelly. Yeah,
Bobby Keller?
Kelly, I forgot. Yeah,
he's someone who...
He's intense, bro. I swear to God. Yo, he came up. He's like, good to meet you. And he gives you a firm handshake. He looks right in your eyes, into your soul. Like, dog, he's got an intense, like, look, bro. I was like, oh, shit. Who is this guy? You know? Like, he looks at you like, yeah, like, I am a legend. Like you know what
oh,
I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh shit, all right, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I said a bunch on the podcast. He, I know his name is Richard something. He was on Mark Maron's show, and he's a stand-up, and he's like an older guy. And it was very funny, like, how I met him. Elazar was doing his stuff with Bam Margera at the time. And
Elazar was
doing it with Bam Margera and Artie Lang. So I got to meet this guy, and like I've seen him on like you know he was on Marin and the movie Project X. He had like a part on. So he's like, and he's a good comedian. I don't remember remember his name, but he was sick at the time, like a little bit sickly. So, like, when I gave him a handshake, it was weak, but it was not too far off from my regular handshake.
Okay.
And he chastised me for it. And I was like, if this was a TV show of my life, like, this is exactly an interaction that would happen with this type of person in me. Of, like, this old guy yelling at me. Yeah. I'm like, a firmer handshake. I'm like, no, that's...
That's that old school shit, yo. Firm handshakes. I'm glad those have just died away.
I'm just like...
I think that that's an old... I don't know anybody who's like, does that now. Like, it was always just like... Just like when I was like younger, it was always just like older dudes who just like shake the fuck out of your hands. Like, yo, I'm wearing rings, fucker. Like, yo, you're hurting my hand. What's wrong with you?
My brother does that, but he's like 5'4", so it makes sense with the like Napoleon complex. Like, yes, you're gonna you're gonna give a strong handshake. That's real. When you're like that.
For real.
But yeah, I've always like that was a funny thing. Like, I never Ari Lang, it was so weird. He was in like he's clean now, which is absolutely great, but when I saw him, I was like, it was kind of neat. Like, even though he's in a bad place, it was like I got to see Ari Lang at his Ari Langiest. Like, I got to see him at like the TV, like TV show movie of your life, like version of meeting Ari Lang. I'm like, that's what he is. Peak, I never got to like, I never talked to him like at all, but I was always in like a 3 foot like away from him. Like, just watching him.
It's like, here he is. He's right there. He's right there. That's what it was with Ari. I was like, oh my God, he's right there. I went up to him. I was like, hey, nice to meet you. He's like, all right. And I was like, all right. Oh, and I just like, dee. I just ran away. Just I didn't like, say anything more than that.
Yeah.
Just, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah.
And he said some shit like, yeah, hi, I'm Ari. I'm like, no shit, no, dude. I was like, no shit. Come on, dude. I almost said some corny shit like, I know. I just said, good to meet you.
Good to meet you. Yeah, you never want to meet
you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't want to say that's so whack.
Yeah.
That's so whack, dude.
Like, the cool thing is, like, when people kind of remember you, too. Like, I saw Gary Goldman after one of his shows. And, like, he remembered me later on, like, Twitter and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's awesome.
That's dope, man.
And I was like, he's also super nice. And, yeah, I've had some...
It sucks. My memory's so bad that if I ever did make it, I won't be that super nice guy. Because I don't remember shit.
Don't remember shit.
I can't remember nobody. So I'm not going to be like one of those guys.
Right. Well, I'm so happy that you did this. I'm really happy that we were able to
do this
for a
dude.
While. And I'll definitely have to have you back on. You know, it's... I felt so bad because I did have you... Like, I have this huge list of comedians to get on the podcast. And I was like... And then I looked at our messages and I was like, oh, I haven't talked to him in like a year about doing this. I feel like such a piece of shit. And then when you sent it to me.
I'm glad I could come here in person. I hate Zoom so much. I'll drive an hour just to fucking come out, dude. Because that's how much I hate Zoom.
Yeah, I don't like doing that
I'd rather
that
do it in person.
I don't like doing that either. So, thank you so much.
My pleasure, man.
My phone died, so this is actually going to come out a little bit later.
Okay.
Like probably end of the month.
All
right. Soon. I'll figure out what's...
No problem, man.
But